I've got a short message for you this morning, and the question I want to ask is, what is so good about Friday? And so, because we have some youngsters in the audience, what is so good about Friday? That's a question. Well, yes, that's this Friday, but what is so good about every Friday? It's the weekend, right? So why are we always looking forward to Friday? What is so special about Friday? All right, so just for my boys, I've got a special video about how does Friday make us feel. Are you ready, boys? Are you ready? Video about Friday. Yes. Volume up. All the way up. So many of us look forward to Friday because Friday means freedom. It means we have 2 days where we don't have to work. It means we can do what we want. But this Friday, just as Neil said, represents so much more than just no work. It represents something so much better. This Friday that represents what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago on the cross. And it is a wonderful, beautiful remembrance for us as we look back to that time and we think about that Friday when, just as our readings walked us through his trial and what he did for us. But I was reminded, as I was listening to another pastor on podcast, I was reminded that it didn't start at the cross. And so, Isaiah 53 has a very special message for us this Friday, and so I'm going to read to you from verses 3 all the way through 6. It says this, and this was hundreds of years before Jesus. It says, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed." Think about that for a second. "And by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And so as I was going through this scripture and being reminded that his suffering didn't begin at the cross, his sacrifice didn't begin there at the cross, it began as he took those beatings for us, as he suffered for us, as he took those stripes, as he took those insults. And what did that earn for us? Yes, of course, he saved us by going to the cross on our behalf. But I was struck again by, as he was being struck, he was purchasing for us healing. Because of what he did at the cross, we can receive healing today, right? He has borne our griefs and he has carried our sorrows. On the cross, as he suffered there, as he was spit upon, as he was publicly disgraced for us, for the wrong things that we have done, he carried our sorrows, and he wants to carry our sorrows. So often, we sorrow alone, and we sorrow in silence, and we sorrow in difficulty, and we don't bring those sorrows to him because he wants to bear those sorrows with us. And he understands exactly what that feels like because he sorrowed so deeply and so greatly. And so, he purchased for us our salvation at the cross, but he also took upon himself our affliction. He created a way for us to receive healing, and he bore our griefs and our sorrows. What an amazing thing that he did for us on this Good Friday. And so I thought it would also be a good idea, not only because we have young ones in the audience, but also to take a look at a biblical character that we sometimes overlook, that we sometimes don't think about, someone who took a great risk as Jesus died on that Friday. When Jesus died on that Friday, someone had to step out, and here he is.
My father once told me, privilege is the power to open doors in my life. However, that all changed the day I met a man who had great power but denied all privilege. He didn't ride in with fanfare and processional. He didn't ride in at all. He walked like everyone else. But he wasn't like everyone else. He touched the people that no one else would even look at. He ate meals with people that others felt only disdain for. Over time, I came to know him. Yeah, I followed him at a distance. I didn't speak up when they talked nonsense about him. I thought I loved him, but I wouldn't even step out of the shadows to follow him. My fear kept me paralyzed. Can I stay in the shadows any longer? Afraid of what people will think of me? He's dead. On that cross at Golgotha. His body just hanging there. Waiting for a soldier to take him down and throw him in a pit to be buried with criminals. But I will not let that happen. Pilate could kill me just for asking for the body. It may cost me everything. If I get Pilate's permission, then I will go get his body and place it in my tomb. I must do this one thing for him. At least this one thing. This is my tomb, where I was supposed to be buried. And today, it will be used. Jesus will fill up the grave meant for me.
What an interesting look at the character that we so often don't even think about. I like how he says, I must do this one thing for him. Stepping out of the shadows, taking the risk. It could cost him his life. It could cost him his seat in the Sanhedrin. It was very unpopular. And yet he said, I must do this one thing for him. And just like Joseph of Arimathea, that's in case you didn't catch the name, Joseph, Jesus has taken our place. Jesus has filled up the place of the grave where we belong. He has taken it. And so just as Joseph stepped out of the shadows and took that risk, we must step out of the shadows and we must do this one thing for him. I was reminded again this week as we watched a movie with the youth, he died for me, so I will live for him. That is the one thing that he wants of us. He wants us to live for him. He did this to show us his love. He endured the scorn and the shame for us. He removed every obstacle so that we could be reunited in perfect peace with God. He did all of that for us. And so he wants us to put our trust and our faith in him. And there's three things he wants us to do. He wants us to come to him by faith. He requires that we repent of our sins. By repenting, he means turn away from those wrong things that we have done. And he wants us to invite him to come and live in us forevermore. That is what he wants us to do together, corporately, and to remember today in communion. That is what he wants us to do, to live for him. And so this morning early, I came in and I was waxing the floors. I'm also the janitor here. Yay! Fun thing being the janitor. And I was reminded again with this glass sealant that I put on top of the floors. You've got to make sure that you clean the floor really well before you put down the glass sealant. Because if you miss the black scuff marks, if you miss the dirt, if you miss the hair, hair's the worst, and then you put the sealer over it, then you will forever see the stain, right? Because then the glass sealant covers over the stain, and the stain is then sealed in, right? So I go through, and I do a really good, really thorough, at some points I'm, you know, kneeling down with my thumb taking off those little marks on the back floor, because I want to make sure that when I put in that glass sealant, it's clear and clean. And in the same way, when we meet Jesus face to face, if we've accepted him, if we've accepted what he did on the cross for us, if we've turned over our life to him, he will wipe our floor clean and then put on that sealant, and forevermore we will be clean. But the opposite is also true. If we choose to reject the offer that he gives to all of us, if we choose to reject the cross, if we choose to walk in our own way, when we meet him face to face, that sealant will still be applied. And we will forever be stained, we'll forever be guilty, we'll forever be broken away from relationship with God. And so we don't know when we're going to meet him face to face. That could be today, it could be next week, it could be next year, it could be this instant. We have no idea. And so just like that glass sealant goes down on the floor and seals it, my encouragement this morning is to seal in that commitment. Because he died for us, we must live for him. Let us seal our lives with the Holy Spirit and let him live in us and through us as a powerful witness, both in our jobs, in our families, and in our country, standing up for what is right. Let's do this together. And so we get to take communion together on this very special day that he, as we remember what he did on the cross for us, I want to call Rich forward to lead us in communion, that very special and important thing. We're going to close in just a couple minutes. But I also want to say at the end of the service, if you need prayer for something, don't hesitate to come forward, whether it be giving your life to the Lord or re-giving your life to the Lord, or whether it be for healing. Because just as we said, he wants us to be healed, to be free. And so don't let this opportunity pass you by. I'm going to turn it over to Rich.